Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast where I'm going through every single one of Tom Hanks's movies in chronological order and talking about them. My name is Rachel, and today I'm very excited because I've got my friend and sometimes comedian, sometimes, but in my heart, it's all the time. It's Joe DiBella.
Yeah. All right.
You may remember sometimes. Joe from a Hologram for a King episode.
Yeah, the hit episode. That I'm sure broke all your download records, Hologram for the King.
It was a lot. That one was on the top of the list. Right next
for like the first hour it came out.
Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, I have to listen to them talk about this movie I've never seen.
There's a lot of hollow heads out there. So they're out there. They're hidden. Yeah. They don't like to admit it, but yeah, they'll come out.
I just see them as numbers. I can't see who downloaded, but yeah, I see you guys. But we're not talking about Hologram for a King today. We're talking about News of the World.
Yes.
Instead of King, we're talking about the world. This movie came out December 2020. And it was
Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day, 2020, the year no one wants to talk about, and it had some select theaters, I think, but mostly people are watching it online, renting it for $19.99.
Yeah. I looked at the box office for this like earlier, and I don't know if they incorporate like the money that people paid for it at home, but I don't know if they do that now, or I don't know how that works, but like it's at $11 million, which is like a big bomb, like if that's all it's made.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that like they haven't totaled in at home watching.
Yeah. Well, also, usually on IMDb, it says a budget, but I didn't see a budget for this movie, so I can't compare. They probably, like, take that info off.
Oh, well, I was looking on Box Office Mojo. I think it was, like, $38 or $40 million. That's why I was like, whoa, that's not good.
Yeah. So, but you could kind of expect
But I did
that.
See... Yeah, well, I know that like everywhere else in the world except like the U.S. and Canada, maybe like it's on Netflix. Like
Netflix
got the streaming rights for it, so like I guess that might be why a lot of people haven't paid for it, because it's just part of like they probably made a deal with them and got a lot of money from that.
Yeah, I think when I did his summary movie Greyhound, the movie made its money by selling the rights to Apple TV Plus. Like Apple TV Plus paid like a crazy amount of money in order to stream that movie. So I feel like Netflix probably paid a bunch, like Universal, a bunch of money in order to stream it. So maybe that's where they're making their money back.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think, yeah, I have like so many, like, I think I have like mixed feelings about like when they're doing that, because it like screws over like everybody for like residuals and like anybody that was supposed to get a piece of the box office. Like, it just like, so if that was like in your deal as like a crew member or like, or an actor or something, you know, a lot of the studios aren't incorporating that into the price when they sell it to like Netflix or Apple TV. So it's just like, it kind of makes, it just like screws people over in the long run, apparently.
Yeah, that's
hopefully. But I know Tom Hanks is doing fine.
Yeah, Tom's fine. And the actress in the movie is also fine because she has a Golden Globe nomination.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, I'm always hoping Tom will get like a, you know, a nomination just for being Tom Hanks, but also he's a good actor, but didn't happen again. His co-stars keep getting nominated and he doesn't. Like, I think for The Post, Meryl got nominated because Meryl is always nominated. But Tom wasn't nominated. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a little, it's very, yeah, it is weird because, like, he does, like, a lot of movies where you think he would get the nom because, like the movie's nominated, the director, like, co-stars. Yeah. It's like, but why is he, like, consistently not nominated or, like, winning? Like,
yeah. I think it's because people are like, oh, Tom already has a lot. Like, people just assume he has a lot of awards, and he does, you know. But it's because he does good work. Like, I think it's unfair that, like, Meryl is constantly nominated for everything she does. But Tom also brings the same A game to all of his roles. And he kind of gets, like, left behind, whereas everyone's like, oh, Meryl. And I know this isn't supposed to be a bashing of Meryl. But it is kind of that thing where I feel like they just, like, automatically nominate her. But then when it comes to Tom, they're like, oh, he has enough already. And I still think it's because of that, the back-to-back Oscar wins. Like, people just...
That was so long ago.
Yeah. It's like... It was 94, 95. Whatever. Yeah. So,
one day. Maybe one day. Academy Award nominations haven't gone out yet. So, who knows?
I know, but he's not going to get it for that. Because... But whatever. But yeah, the biggest one, the biggest snub, I think, is he wasn't nominated for Captain Phillips. And that was the best acting I've ever seen in my life. But it was the same director, Paul Greengrass.
Yeah.
So there we go. We'll be back to news of the world.
We're back. Extra. We're back.
I'm going to read a synopsis for anyone who hasn't seen the movie yet, but also spoiler, we're going to talk about it, but here we go. This is from IMDb. A Civil War veteran agrees to deliver a girl taken by the Kiowa people years ago to her aunt and uncle against her will. They travel hundreds of miles and face grave dangers as they search for a place that either can call home.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
That's it. Yeah, that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
It's this... a pretty simple premise.
Yeah. And it was a pretty simple movie. It was a German movie. Pretty
like a movie like this, it's like you would like normally like I feel like I'd be bored at like a movie like this, but this has like such a like an amazing pacing to it, and it's like 2 hours long and it just flies by. Like it just really doesn't drag and it keeps your interest all the time.
Yeah, I thought it was good, and there is like I felt, because it's like any kind of journey movie where it's like you're going along and this thing happens, but then we fix it. This thing happens and then we fix it. So it was like, but all the little things were entertaining, so like boop 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 so it kept my interest. It was good. Also, this is the first ever Western movie with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's true.
Even though one of his most iconic characters he plays in films is a sheriff, Sheriff Woody, those don't count as Westerns. This is his first Western movie. I think that's exciting.
I think it's cool. He's got like a cool Western look. He's believable. Goodness.
I think he's good. And then also it just it made me think, if I opened up a Disneyland type theme park that was themed Tom Hanks, you know how Dolly Parton has Dollywood? If there was a Tom Hanks theme park, we could have a Frontierland-esque land that's themed after this movie.
Just this movie. That's such a...
have like a Woody, you know, it's a frontier land with News of the World and Woody. It'd be fun.
Crossover of the century.
Yeah, I like it. And then Tomorrowland is like Apollo 13 and what else? Cloud Atlas, and then Fantasyland is Saving Mr. Banks, and then you can also include Toy Story in there, and Radio Flyer. And then
you have to do some sort of a war one. You got to get a like Band of Brothers slash like Saving Private Ryan, some sort of a weird war like attraction.
Yeah, there's got to be a war land that's just a bunch of war. And then, oh gosh, think of how fun these rides would be. You have a Sully ride where you're just on a plane and it crashes into the Hudson, and then you're on a Captain Phillips ride and your boat gets taken by pirates. You're on an Apollo 13 ride and you can't get to the moon. These are all great.
And then there's a bachelor party after hours for adults only.
Yeah, or it's a dinner show where you go and it's a bachelor party.
Ooh,
dinner.
Yeah.
And they have those hot dogs. You would get it if you've seen bachelor party. And then instead of animatronics, there's holograms of kings. There we go.
Yes.
I think it sounds fun. Tom, let me know if you're interested. I can be your one Imagineer, and I'll come up with all the ideas.
I'm betting you already have the blueprints ready to go.
Yeah, but they're all like stick figure type things because I can't draw. They're like, This is this, and it looks like a little child made it, but it was me. I did it.
Oh, that's fine. That's a good start.
Yeah. What else? Oh, he plays a captain in this movie. Well, he is a captain. Captain Kidd or whatever. Well, he goes by Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a captain, which makes this the sixth movie where he plays a captain. Can you name all six movies?
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
This is three.
Yeah.
God, what else? Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
No.
No? No Captain?
No.
Hmm.
That doesn't really technically count, though. He could be a captain of that shrimp and boat.
Oh, yeah.
The last one could be, it might be hard, but I'll give you a hint.
What? What
is that? Is that a good hint?
Oh, Sully.
Yeah, there we go. Yay! Yeah. It's Jim Lovell, Apollo 13, Miller from Saving Private Ryan, Phillips from Captain Phillips, Sullenberger from Sully. Oh, we forgot. Oh, okay, that's five. Wait, there's still one more.
Yeah.
This movie. Yeah. And then you might not get it. Because it's one that a lot of people haven't seen yet.
Oh, Greyhound?
Yeah. He plays a submarine captain.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He loves being a freaking captain.
Loves it so much. It's his favorite thing. Weird
captain fetish.
Yeah, if you want to pitch a movie to Playtone and Tom Hanks, all you gotta do is say, hey, I got this part for you, Tom, and it's a captain. And he's like, sign me up. It should also be something that like makes you think America's great.
He's playing the colonel in the next movie, so it's close enough.
Oh yeah. That's the Elvis movie, right?
For that Elvis movie, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one that he got when he was in Australia, he got sick.
He got sick, and that's when the world started taking COVID seriously.
Yeah, Tom Hanks saved many lives.
He did. Okay. Well, let's get into news of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tom Hanks is this guy who goes from town to town and delivers the news of the world. Well, there we go. He reads off newspapers to towns because back in the day, people didn't have time to read newspapers. They were working. And this is like the beginning of the nightly news, you know? Anyway, he goes.
Yeah, he's very showman.
Yeah. It like shows him getting ready, putting on his suit, walking over, and then be like, attention. And then he's like reading the newspaper. And he's just reading it. Like, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a little stiff. Like, yeah. To charge people for it.
Yeah, but everyone's like, oh, wow, shocking news. And then when he's leaving his first town, he comes across this, like, carriage that's been turned over, and he sees this, like, man hanging in the trees. And then he finds this girl who's, like, I don't know. And he finds out that this soldier guy was supposed to be taking her to her family because she was kidnapped by the Kiowa tribe and as a girl, as a kid. And then that tribe was like killed. And then so then they were taking her to her family. Did I get it right?
Yeah,
but this is like after the Civil War, so there's still like a lot of like civil unrest. And this soldier was black, and he was killed by you know the, because this is in Texas, and people are still like, we need to secede. We don't want to be a part of this country anymore, and that's still a problem to this day, because Texas, as we know, has their own. Situation. It's topical.
Yeah, I mean, it was until probably a couple of weeks ago. And then everybody's like, oh, we can't survive on our own.
So yeah. He's like, he finds the paper that's like, I'm taking her to here, because her parents are dead, because they were killed by the Kiowa tribe. So we're taking to her aunt and uncle. And that's when a Union soldiers come by and they're like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, I found this girl. What do I do with them? And they're like, oh, take her to this camp and there'll be someone there who can escort her. And he's like, okay. So he goes to that camp, and then the guy's like so rude to Tom Hanks. Yeah. He's like, the man who can deliver her won't be back for another 6 months. And he's like, 6 months? And it's like, yeah, you can either wait it out or take
record
her yourself.
Scratch.
Yeah. What? So this is the town that he's like going to read the news. And he knows some people who live there. So he's like, well, I'll just leave her with these people that I trust. And it's like, the lady that he leaves her with is Mara Winningham from Turner and Hooch.
So is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's
what a
fun
reunion.
Reunion. This is also, I will say, is a Playtone production. So it's Tom Hanks's company.
Oh, yes.
And I do feel like when Tom Hanks is in charge, he's always bringing back little like people from his past or like friends. So it's like fun to see these little things happen.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was like, hey, you want to be in this movie? She's like, oh, sure. I don't know if that is how it worked. Maybe she really auditioned for it and then he was like, oh, I know her, come on.
I don't know how that works. I feel like he could just cast whoever he wants. Like, he's just like, oh, you can still like act, like it's okay, everything's cool, all right, you're in. Like,
yeah,
like you're not just, you didn't become the most atrocious actor in the world, like fine. Like, you're good.
Yeah, no, she's been doing good stuff because she's been doing a lot of the American Horror Story. That's how I've seen her recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know she was like in the first, she was at least, I know, in The Hotel, and that one was, she was a big role in The Hotel season, but anyway. Yeah,
the Gaga year.
The Gaga year.
The Gaga year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he tries to leave. Johanna is her name. She goes by Cicada, though. That was her, like, name given to her. But throughout the movie, he just calls her Johanna. And she's like, they find out she's from a German family, which is fun for me because I took German in high school. So every once in a while they'll say German stuff. And I'm like, I kind of understand that. When they say books later, they're like, Buka. I was like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. That means books. But you could tell because it sounds the same.
I got the gist of it. I was like, oh, I think I understand. Like, I'm going to assume. Yeah. I did a lot of assumptions.
Yeah. I mean, languages are kind of similar sometimes. Yeah, so then she runs away and she's kind of like difficult. So then he's like, I'll just take her. Like, this is too stressful. I'll just take her. And so they go to the next town where they meet a Mrs. Gannett or something like that. Yeah. So go to next town, and there's this woman that Tom Hanks knows there. And so she has a place for them to stay. But also they have a little thingy. We don't see anything, which is good for me because I think of Tom Hanks like my dad, so it would be very awkward for me. So this was kind of awkward, but at least it was like not you know, hologram for a king awkward. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That movie.
Oh,
was.
Yeah. Are these do I keep popping onto these on the ones where Tom Hanks gets busy?
Yeah.
have I been on the only two where he's where they kind of show that he's getting down?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously in his 80s and 90s movies, yeah, they show that stuff, but not really.
That's true. Yeah.
But, yes, older in life, Tom Hanks, I have brought you on for the two movies where that happens. So, we can get through the awkwardness together.
yeah.
Anyway, basically, but we know that he's married. We don't know about his wife yet, but she's like, I guess she kind of like hints, like, have you gone back to San Antonio, which is where he's from, and where his wife is? And he's like, no, I haven't gone back yet. So then in our heads, we're like, oh, he hasn't gone back to see his wife yet, right?
Yeah, must be. I mean, one of my assumptions was, you know, trouble in paradise.
Yeah.
So this is his, you know, he's not too eager to get home. So as long as he could stay on the road.
Yeah. He's like avoiding it. Yeah. And she's like, you gotta go back and face the truth, whatever. And then, so then they have their thing. And then he goes off and he reads the news for that town. But then there's like this creepy guy who stalks them after the show. And he's like, hey, I'll give you money for this child. And he's like, I'm not selling her. And he's like, give her to me. And he's like, no. And then he's like a creep. And I guess he like knows that she is, he wants to like keep her for himself and like do weird things. Anyway, the cops in town, I guess, kind of, or the soldiers in town kind of like are like, is this guy giving you trouble? And it's like, yeah. And so then they kind of like arrest him. But that gives
Tom Hanks, you kind of know, like it seems like the cops knew, like, this guy is always like creeping around. They're like, oh, this freaking sick mess again.
Yeah, and he's
up to his old tricks.
Yeah, he's like an ex-Confederate soldier too, or something like that. And he's like, because Tom Hanks, I think he was a Confederate soldier too, right?
I believe that was the case, yeah.
Yeah, because he was in Texas, whatever. But anyway, so then they book the guys or whatever, but that gives Tom and Joanna enough time to, like, kind of run away. But then eventually these three guys catch up with them, and then we have a shootout scene, which is very fun.
Yeah, they're on the big chase with the wagon. Yeah. Which was like, that was like super intense.
Yeah. It was fun. And this was the scene, I saw Tom on, I think it was Colbert, and this was like the scene they used to promote the movie. And I was like, this is a good scene to promote it because it looks very action-y, you know? So people were like, oh,
yeah,
the movie looks
intense.
This
scene. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah. There's like all these rocks. And then Tom has like a shotgun, and then he has like another gun, and his other gun runs out of bullets, but his shotgun doesn't have real bullets. It has bird seed, I guess, in it.
Yeah, there's no, like, yeah.
Yeah. So then Johanna has the idea of putting the coins that they get from their readings into the bullet cases and then shooting those like bullets. Mm-hmm. And it works because they kill all the guys. Oh, but there's like that where they go hide under the rocks and the guy's on top of the rocks and they're like, Tom is like trying to figure out where he is based on like all the dust that gets kicked around. And then Tom is like, he like throws something and then shoots up right as the guy looks and then he kills him. And
yeah, that guy goes flying too.
Yeah. It's very badass and cool. It was fun.
Yeah, you don't see Tom Hanks doing stuff like this really. Like he seems so against like doing like action-y type things like this. So it's like, I think it's like so cool to watch him like kill a guy. Like, yeah. 'Cause you just never see it. Like,
yeah, we like, I mean, maybe in like Captain Phillips, he kind of did that thing where he was like hiding out and then like would like throw something and distract the pirates and then kind of like get them that way or whatever, maybe. But like, this was very like kicking and shooting and hiding and it was fun.
Yeah.
I think there was like a thing where someone was like, Tom Hanks has never been in the MCU. Why hasn't he been in? And I think Tom was like, yeah, why haven't I been asked to be in a Marvel movie? And I was like, he should be in a Marvel movie. But I was like, you know what? They would probably just cast him as like the Robert Redford kind where he's like a part of like the shield or sword and he's like a suit, you know, but secretly like a bad guy maybe or something. I don't know. But I was like, he could kick butt. I don't know.
Yeah, they'd give him like one big scene.
Yeah. Maybe there's like a million Spider-Man villains, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of them. He could be a Spider-Man villain. That'd be fun. People don't expect him to be a villain.
Yeah.
What if he is Tom Holland?
I thought he said...
Huh?
Didn't you say that he doesn't want to be a villain, though? Didn't you say something like that? Like, where he's, like, kind of against playing a bad guy or something like that?
I think it was... I don't know if he said something... Like, I know that he's not good at being a villain. I think he also recently in an interview said something about, like, I'd rather play real-life people because... there's so many like rich real life stories. Why are we making up so many or something like that? But this was like around the time when he was like playing Sully and then Captain Phillips and like Walt Disney. So yeah, he was playing a bunch of real people. But
yeah, and this guy is based off of a real person, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this like inspired by somebody?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it has to be, right? I mean, I didn't do too much research, but yeah
I mean, I'm sure that there were people that at least like it might be like, you know, one of those like loosely based off of like just a guy who like would go around town and read the news
and they're like, but what if he found a kid and had to deliver that kid while reading the news? Yeah. But I don't know, I feel like Tom would, if he didn't want to do, I think he would for the Marvel cinema. Everyone wants to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want them to do Squirrel Girl and I want to be Squirrel Girl. Anyway, so they shoot the guys and then they go back on their journey and then they come across this like group of people that are like creepy, like white supremacist people. And they're like, come read in our town. And then they're like very creepy. And Tom Hanks is like, okay, you know.
He's like, I guess I gotta go.
Yeah. And they're like, read our newspaper. And it's like, okay. But then he doesn't. He reads like actual news. And he tells a story about how these miners that were in an accident, they, because the people running it weren't caring about their safety, and some of them died, but a lot of them survived and they like fought back. And then that's when the people of this town who are like workers, they kind of start to fight back, and a brawl happens because they're like, oh yeah, there's more of us than there are of them. And then
this newsman has a point.
Yeah, this newsman's right. If we all fight, it's very newsies. There's more of us than there are of him. And then all the newsies dance and the world will know. And then the leader guy gets really offended and he's like pulls out a gun and is about to shoot Tom Hanks, but that's when Johanna shoots him. And then there's this other kid from town who's like who comes in and saves Tom Hanks, who is about to get shot too. And he's like, that story you told me, it's real, right? And Tom's like, yeah, it's real. And he gives him the newspaper. And the kid's going to go off and work on the trains or the steel, whatever. I don't know. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tom Hanks and Johanna are going to go off into this, like, kind of questionable road. And yeah. So they split up. But it's cute. That kid is like very nice, but also seems very dumb, right? I don't know.
Yeah, total idiot. Like just the dumbest of like, you know.
He's like, oh, like, sir.
Everything's gonna work out fine.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
He gets killed like 10 minutes later.
Yeah, he's like, I can't wait to go work on the trains. And then this is when they're Tom Hanks and Johanna kind of like start to really bond because like she's teaching him words, right? And he's teaching her words and they're having a good time.
Yep.
But then they come across like this, is it her home, her old home? Like
I assume that was her home.
Like, yeah.
One of my many assumptions.
Yeah. There's like all this blood everywhere. Blood stains everywhere and there's like kind of like arrows in the doorway, so we're assuming this was the house that she was in with her family that got attacked by the Kiowa tribe. And then she finds like a doll and then Tom is like, we're gonna take you somewhere so you can make new memories or something like that. I don't know. And then so they're going, but then their wagon starts going out of control. And then it kind of falls off. They, like, jump off right as it, like, goes off the side of the cliff. And it's very sad because then they have to shoot the horses. Yeah. It's very traumatic.
Yeah, that's sad.
Then they have to walk on foot now. And they get really tired. And, of course, we get the whole, like, water. I need water. But then there's, like, a windstorm. What is that? I don't know what it is.
A big dust storm.
Oh, that's what it is.
Like a dust storm. Yeah, yeah. Like the old Dust Bowl era.
Oh, okay. And then Tom is like, Johanna, Johanna. And then we see there's a Kiowa tribe walking by and Johanna goes over and she's like, hey, can we get a horse? And Tom at first is like, oh, she's leaving me. And then he's like, no, she just got me a horse. It's so nice.
This kid.
Yeah.
I think I like this kid.
Yeah. He's like, oh no, she's leaving me. And then it's like, oh no, she got a horse. Yay. So then they make it to wherever they're supposed to be, Castroville, by that horse. And then they're like, they meet the aunt and uncle and they're like, hey, this is Johanna. She was your sister's daughter. And then they kind of talk about how they were stupid and they left to go, I don't know. And that's when the tribe attacked them. They went off on their own. They're like, don't leave Castroville. And they're like, no, we gotta go find our own land. And then of course they get killed. And then Tom is like, well, give her books please, because she loves to read and she loves stories. he doesn't have an accent, but I put it on. He's like, she loves to read, please get her some books. And they're like, okay, Tom. They're like,
maybe that's what held him back from the nomination. Maybe he needed that accent. Maybe he
you know what, it's true, because he put on an accent for Forrest Gump and that he got an Oscar for that. So I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to put on a Southern accent because it would have sounded too much like Tom. I mean, Forrest Gump.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I can't do an accent ever again for anything.
But then he leaves her and she's kind of upset about it. She's like, don't leave me. But then he does. And then he finally goes to San Antonio to see his wife. But his wife is not there anymore. And we find out she died like 5 years ago. And that's why he hasn't come back, because he didn't want to come back to not hurt, because she died when he was fighting in the war. What, cholera?
Yeah.
Is that the thing that everyone dies of in Oregon Trail?
I think so, yeah. That was the go-to.
Yeah. That was always so sad. I remember there was like a meme going around where it was like Beyonce died of cholera because someone named one of their characters Beyonce. Just like when you play that game, don't name the characters after people you actually know, because they will most likely all die, and it's very sad.
Are people still playing Oregon Trail?
I think so. I bet you people have been playing lots of things during quarantine because they're like, oh, I remember this. I wonder if they have it, and then they play it. I played Backyard Baseball. Did you ever play that game?
Oh,
it was a computer game. There was like whole backyard sports. There was backyard baseball, backyard soccer, backyard basketball, and you played on your computer. I also played putt-putt. Did you ever play putt-putt?
I did some putt-putt back in the day. Yeah.
The purple car. I played some putt-putt because I was like, I haven't played this game in so long. So I played Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo. It was very fun.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's also Putt-Putt Travels Through Time and Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon. I remember that one. That was a good one. Anyway, I bet you people are playing Oregon Trail.
I might have to play. After this, I'm going to be like hunting down a copy of Oregon Trails or Simulator or something.
I'm sure you can Google it and play. I'm sure of it. But yeah, then he like goes to his wife's grave. It's very Forrest Gump where he goes and talks to Jenny, except for he doesn't say anything. He just leaves his ring in like pocket watch type thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's sad. He should keep his ring, right? Why is he giving it back?
It might just be it might just be a thing where he has to move on. Maybe this is like he's been holding on to this for so long, and you know, he wants to start a new chapter, and he's just like, I gotta just get rid of like the ring and kind of move on with everything.
Yeah, that's sad.
Because I would see that, like, even in today's day, like if, you know, a spouse died or something, you probably wouldn't want to. It seems like you're just hurting yourself if you're like still walking around with the ring on after 5 years.
But you can like keep it, make it a necklace, right? You know, where you don't have to constantly see it, but like you are wearing it and like having a piece of them. I don't know. I'm a hoarder, so I'm like, I'm not getting rid of that, even though it makes me sad, because it also reminds me of them, and it makes me happy. Happy memories.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but what I do know is I looked at the dates and it looked like she died when she was 33, which by the time this movie was, so 5 years later, she would be 38 at the time. But Tom Hanks was around 63 when he shot this movie. So that means that there's a major age gap between his wife and him.
It's... I mean, I can't say, I can't explain.
Yeah, no, I guess back
in the
day,
he really loved her.
Yeah,
it seems like it wasn't just for, you know, beauty. It seemed like he actually, you know, really loved her.
Yeah, but also we don't know the technical age of this kid character. He could be in his 40s, but look like he's in his 60s. You know what I mean? But also, yeah, I know back in the day. The age gap between husband and wife was intense because, like, women got married at, like, what, 16, you know?
Yeah.
They had to be having those babies, right? I don't know.
Or, you know, I feel like, you know, if they, like, those creep guys in that one town, you know,
oh, yeah.
kids are getting married, like, even before 16.
They're like, give me that girl.
Whether creepy. They like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creepy. History is creepy. Don't look back, look forward. Anyway, and then, so then Tom is like, he goes back to the aunt and uncle and he sees that Johanna is like tied up to a pole and they're like, she tried to run away. And he's like, she's a kid. But that's when he's like,
yeah.
I'd like to take her. And then he talks to her.
The father, the uncle is just like, she won't work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no kidding.
She's a kid. Yeah, but then Tom talks to her and Kiwa and he's like, you belong with me. He sings Taylor Swift's You Belong With Me to her.
Right. Yeah, it breaks out into a big musical number. It's,
yeah.
It's very tastefully done.
Yeah.
You know, I was surprised. Thought it could be a little weird, but
it was great. It worked. It was one of Taylor's re-recordings. And it was great. And then, yeah, and then she chooses Tom Hanks. And then we cut to, he's reading the news to a new town. And Johanna is part of the act now. She does sound effects. And they kill it. They kill it with this story about this guy who was buried early. Yeah. They thought he died. And he like wasn't
yeah
dead.
I was like, this is crossing over into like stand-up routine, like of him telling like this weird story and
yeah.
like making a joke at that, like he's got a tag at the end and everything.
Yeah, he's like, till death do us part, kind of. Am I right?
The place is eating it up.
Yeah, they love it. And then yeah. But that shows character growth, because at the beginning of the movie, he was just reading off the news, boring, like, you know, and now he's got a whole thing. And then also he said her name, her last name was Kid, which means that they either got married. Just kidding.
Or,
No. He adopted her.
Imagine if that was like, you know, they make a sequel and it's just like, oh, no, we were married at the end. Oh, you thought I adopted her? No, it was a marriage.
No. That's my wife. Oh, weird. No. And then the movie ends.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was good.
It was, there's so like just there's nothing good out right now. Like, so seeing something like this, like it was just so refreshing. I was like, oh wow, like a, I forgot there's like so many like good movies that like just aren't like being held back and stuff like that. So like seeing something like this, I was just like, yeah, like I it just really hit hard. I was like so grateful for it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, and it also was like. Because I wasn't excited to see it because I was like, oh, it's a Western movie.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, this is good. For some reason, I don't know why, but it reminds me of like, Oh Brother, We're Out There kind of thing, where it's like, you know, each little, well, that's more of a comedy, you know, and it's Coen Brothers, so it's fun and it's got music. But it is like that, it's similar where it's like you're on a journey. And then the little things happen, which I guess is
I thought it looked
right?
beautiful too. Like the shots were like, it was the Odyssey, a Western Odyssey.
Yeah.
But the cinematography I thought was like so beautiful, like so many great landscape shots and stuff like that. That really like was striking to me, because usually, you know, I feel like the cinematography sometimes in like Tom Hanks movies isn't that great, to be honest with you, for some of these, like, or it's just like not noticeable. But they really like, I don't know, I thought this looked better than a lot of his most recent ones.
Yeah. And I like the rocks scene was a really fun place to set a shootout too. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I thought the performances were great. Well, do you want to rate this movie out of 5 Tom Hankses? How many Tom Hankses do you give News of the World?
I'm going to give this I'm gonna give this a 5.
5.
I think so. Yeah, I think this is one of my. This is like up there now, like with a lot of my favorite Tom Hanks movies.
Wow.
Yeah, like I really like this one.
Yeah. I'm gonna give this one a 4. Because
whoa,
yeah, I really enjoyed it too. I was worried about giving it a 4 because I was like, I don't remember what other movies I gave 4s, and I'm sure those movies I would give higher ratings than this movie. But just based on what I've seen lately of Tom, this one is a 4 movie because I enjoyed it. Because the spoiler alert, Greyhound, I did not enjoy at all. no offense, Tom, he wrote it, but I just thought it was so boring. But this one was very entertaining, and I thought Tom had really great moments in this movie, like especially like at the end when he was asking Johanna to come back with him. He was like getting all teary-eyed, and it was cute. I love a good, even though this wasn't really technically dad-daughter, this kind of was, I really love a good daddy-daughter movie. and Westerns are fun, even though I'm not a Western person. Like, I don't seek them out. I do tend to like them. Maybe that's because I'm from Florida, but that's not really the South. But I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's not.
Maybe it's because it reminds me of working at Frontierland at Disney World.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
I do like Frontierland because I love the Country Bear Jamboree. It's my favorite thing to do at Disney World. Like, 100%. If they ever take it away, I'll be so upset. But anyway, yeah, I'm giving this a 4 Tom Hankses. Wow.
Yeah.
What a fun time. This was fun. And it was fun talking about with you.
Yeah, same. I love talking Hanks with an expert. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm not the expert. I am pen pals with Tom Hanks now, so I'm okay.
That's right, you got the letter.
Yeah. I have 3 now.
Oh, do you really? Oh
yeah.
Wow.
So I wrote him, I got a letter back. No. And then I wrote him again, and then he wrote me back. The second letter is my favorite. And then I wrote him again. I wrote him like a Christmas card, and then he wrote me back, but it was mostly like a pre-written thing that he had already written. And then he kind of just like wrote, "Hey, Ray Ray, tell your grandma I said hey." He has a nickname for me. It's Ray Ray. It's something only my family calls me. So, clearly he's part of my family now. So it's very exciting.
That's cool. You gotta tell me how to write Tom Hanks a letter, because I'm curious. I want to send him something. I want to write him something, see what he writes back.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to get a typewriter. I think he only responds to typewritten letters. So.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, but you're close to my favorite typewriter place, the place where I bought my typewriter. Well, not really. You have to go to Manhattan. Sorry. It's Gramercy Typewriters near the Flatiron Building.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. That's where I got mine. And that's where also apparently Tom gets his, because I asked him when I wrote my first letter. I said, "Hey, I got this typewriter from a place in New York that I heard that you go to." And then his response was, "Gramercy Typewriters?" ? And I was like, "Yeah, that's it." So we're twins, and you can be our triplet.
Nice.
So Gramercy Typewriters. I don't even know if they're still open, but...
Yeah, I thought, they might have, I can't imagine business was booming during COVID. But,
I don't imagine business was booming before COVID, you know what I mean? I think they just live off of Tom Hanks buying stuff from them, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, it's cute. It's a very hole-in-the-wall place. But yeah, thank you for... joining me. Where can people find you?
I'm on check me out on Letterboxd these days. That's where I'm most active. And Joe DiBella. That's I think the only social media I update. So
Yeah, that's how I'm found
on
out.
Letterboxd writing nasty reviews.
Yeah, that's how I found out about you watching this movie because you posted it on your Instagram and I was like, oh, you've seen it because I don't know who's seen these movies. But then I was like, oh, you should be on my podcast. And you are now. Wow.
Yeah,
So
nice.
go follow Joe and thank you again. Thank you for listening. Oh, wait, no. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast.